This is Primary Viewpoints with Patient Care Online, a podcast bringing you the most informative conversations with healthcare experts and leaders about what impacts primary care medicine today. My name is Keith Reynolds. In this episode, we feature a discussion on immunizations between Patient Care Online editor Sydney Jennings and Dr. Stephen P. Furr, former president of the American Academy of Family Physicians.
So according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, vaccination coverage among kindergarten students decreased from approximately 95% during the 2019-2020 school year to 93% during 2022-2023. How can primary care clinicians ensure more kindergarten-age children receive the recommended immunizations this year?
I think part of that is the effect of the COVID and the fact that a lot of their kids didn't go in for their well-child visits. They've kind of gotten out of that routine of going in for their yearly well-child visits. So one of the things that we've done is, you know, they don't come in for their well-child visits. A lot of times if they're in for a sick visit, if they're just in because they got an earache or something else going on, they don't have high fever, we'll talk to them while they're there and say, hey, do you want to go ahead and get your immunizations while you're here and get it taken care of them? Because you can't always rely on them to come in for a well visit. So for us, if they're there for a visit, we try and get the vaccinations in and not just say, oh, why don't you come back for another visit? Let's get it while you're here.
Great. And also, according to the CDC, there have been 203 reported cases of measles as of August 1st in the US. The majority, 86%, of cases are among unvaccinated individuals. Upticks like this in measles cases appear to be more frequent now. Do AAFP members have thoughts on what might be causing the increase? And how can clinicians ensure patients are up to date on their measles vaccinations?
Yeah, of course, as you mentioned, the reason for the increase is the number of people who are unvaccinated. So they're just not getting their vaccination. And we're so dependent on that herd immunity. And people don't understand when you vaccinate yourself or your child, you're not only protecting them, you're protecting all the people around you in addition to that. So we have a large group of people that don't get vaccinated, then other people are more exposed, and then you just got more virus available. So again, try and get people back in. Usually that's a vaccine they get. It's a measles, mumps, rubella vaccine all at once and all together. So again, it's important to just make sure on all of our patients when they come in, we try and check their immunization profile, see if they're up to date. If not, try and get them called up right there at their visit. And we've been fortunate. We've lived in a time where vaccinations have been out and whole groups of diseases we don't see anymore. And people have forgotten how deadly those diseases were. You know, I grew up, my grandmother had polio. She had a weakened leg because of that. But we just forget how devastating those diseases were. When I came along and was practicing, we had an infection called Haemophilus influenza. Well, we've got a vaccine for that. We never see those cases anymore. We used to see kids with meningitis and horrible epiglottitis. We never see that anymore due to the vaccinations.
So there is still a lot of concern about the surge in vaccine hesitancy and misinformation that came along with the COVID pandemic. Do you feel as though the situation has improved as we move farther away from the public emergency?
I think there's still a lot of misunderstanding because there's so much that has changed. There's additional vaccines. There's new vaccines such as RSV vaccine. And I think to tell you the truth, people are really just kind of confused. They've kind of lost track. I mean, even for us as physicians, keeping up with the recommendations. And last year you had one recommendation for RSV that's changed this year. So I think it's real important for patients to get with their primary care doctor and let them help them understand what vaccines they need. And is it time to get a COVID vaccine update? So some of this vaccine hesitancy, I think a lot of it's just lack of understanding of what's really needed. And the fact they can get multiple vaccines at once, that it's no problem. You can get your flu and COVID vaccine. And even if you're due for your RSV vaccine all at the same time. So I think there is some vaccine hesitancy, but I think there's a lot of vaccine confusion that's going on. And that's among providers too, as the guidelines have changed. So you've got to make sure you keep up with that and help patients understand what they really need.
True. And so how should family physicians and other primary care clinicians continue to address vaccine hesitancy and misinformation among patients and families? You spoke to it a little bit.
Yeah, and there was just a recent study that showed the main reason people don't get vaccinated because their doctor didn't suggest it to them. So often you don't wait for the patient to come in and say, hey, I'm here to get this vaccine, when they're there for a well visit or they're there for a sick visit. They're there to get their blood pressure checked or their diabetes checked. you look in their record and say, hey, you know, you're due for your COVID vaccine, you're due for your flu vaccine. You want to get that while you're here. And so often if you suggest it, they'll agree to do it. And in fact, I'd probably say 1/4 of my vaccinations are not done on the patient who's in the office, but it's their spouse who comes in with them, so that the husband will be there for a visit and the wife's sitting there. I say, he's going to get his flu vaccine today. Do you want to get yours? She's like, yeah, I'm here. Let's go ahead and do it while we're here. So it's just a matter of asking them if they want to get that done.
Oh, you say you're a practice leader or administrator? We've got just the thing. Our sister site, physicianspractice.com, your one-stop shop for all the expert tips and tricks that will get your practice really humming. Again, that's physicianspractice.com.
So shifting gears to adults, what do you feel are the most important changes in recommendations for adult vaccination as we head into the respiratory virus season?
I think for many areas that there's not been a huge uptick in COVID cases, people have forgotten they really do need to get a COVID vaccine and get a booster each year. And that's going to be the recommendation going forward. So we're going to kind of encourage them when they come in for their flu vaccine, also to get their COVID vaccine at the same time and make sure they get those taken care of. All the flu vaccines now are trivalent, so they're covered against three different strains at the same time. And the COVID vaccine should help protect against strains going forward. The other new recommendation is they should, if they're 75 or older, they should get a RSV vaccine. And that's a one-time vaccine at this stage. There's no recommendations to get subsequent vaccines. So if they've already had one, they won't need another one. They can get all three vaccines at once if they want to, or if they don't want to get them all the same day, you can give them two and then come back a day later or a week later if they want to and get the other vaccines. Then the other recommendation for the RSV vaccine is that people in that age group between 60 and 75 or 60 or 74 who are at high risk, and those are people like people with diabetes, who are immunocompromised, got chronic kidney disease, and particularly those who've got lung problems like COPD or asthma, those people should probably go ahead and get an RSV vaccine even if they're not 75.
So are there any particular challenges or new issues that primary care clinicians may encounter this upcoming respiratory virus season? And if so, how can they address them effectively?
I think one of the biggest issues for us and that we've advocated for women is particularly for adults, there's a split in how they can get vaccines. So some vaccines are covered in Medicare Part B, and that's like the flu and the COVID vaccines. However, some of the newer vaccines, such as the zoster vaccine and the RSV vaccine, are covered under Medicare Part D. So they have to go to the pharmacist to get that vaccine. We can't give that in the office because we don't get reimbursed for that. So it's very difficult. I'm there talking to a patient and I can give them the flu and the COVID vaccine, but I can't give them the RSV vaccine. So I've got to send them to the pharmacy to do that. They're much more likely to get the vaccine while they're there in the office. So one of the things as AFP we've been advocating for is that we need to have all approved vaccines, all ACIP approved vaccines covered under Part B. We don't want to get them off Part D. That's fine if they want to get them at the pharmacy. But we think a lot of these people with vaccine hesitancy are much more likely to get them in their primary care, their family physician's office. So we would like to have all vaccines covered under Part B. And the other thing to remember is not every Medicare person has Part D coverage. There's thousands of Medicare patients who don't have Part D coverage. Therefore, they can't afford to get some of these expensive vaccines that are $200 a shot.
Wow, $200.
Yes.
Wow.
And that's the reason we can't afford to stock some of these vaccines if we know we're not going to get reimbursed for them because they're so expensive.
Wow. Are there any ways that you mentioned advocating for Medicare Part D, but is there any other way that primary care clinicians can address those issues, or is that just the main one?
Yeah, there are some companies that will do the billing for vaccines for you and stock them in the office, and you can get around doing it that way. There's a complicated billing method on Medicare Part D to get around it too, but it's fairly complicated. And the real solution is to get Congress to just go ahead and approve and get all vaccines that are recommended covered under Part B.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining me today.
Enjoyed it.
Again, that was Patient Care Online editor Sydney Jennings and Dr. Stephen P. Furr, former president of the American Academy of Family Physicians. My name is Keith Reynolds, and on behalf of the whole Patient Care Online team, I'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Also, if you'd like a digest of the best stories Patient Care Online publishes delivered straight to your email 4 days a week, subscribe to our newsletter at patientcareonline.com. Patient Care Online, Medical Economics, and Physicians Practice are all members of the MJH Life Sciences family. Thank you.